Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. My name is Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history, and the topic of our podcast today is the execution of Father Hans B. Schmidt. He had the distinction Father Schmidt had the distinction of being the only priest ever to be executed for murder in the United States. So we're going to talk about His Holiness's dastardly deeds. Do you call a priest His Holiness?
You do.
All right. We're going to talk about his
dastardly... And I'm not even Catholic. I know that one.
All right. We're going to talk about his dastardly deeds. But before we do... we want to remind everyone that this is a, we use adult language on this podcast. We also banter.
Oh my gosh.
We cuss and we banter about. So if cussing and banter is not your thing.
And bantering about cussing.
Clearly. And we banter about cussing. We might be vaping.
Well, I don't vape and Brandy doesn't vape, so you may vape. But anyway, if... foul language offends you, this podcast is, I can tell you, this podcast is not for you. So just giving you fair warning, but if you like, well, not necessarily if you like foul language, but if it's okay with you and you don't mind a little banter, then we invite you to sit back and listen to the story about the execution of Father Hans B. Schmidt. I'd like to introduce our panel. I would like to first introduce the lovely female member of our podcast, a lady that really needs no introduction. She has a great many fans all across the globe. A woman that instills fear in the hearts of penises everywhere.
Oh, my God.
The very lovely and talented, the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil, the Mistress of the Macabre, Satan's Dirty Little Secret, Pill Poppin', Penis Lovin', Brandy.
He How sounds like a game show host.
How are you, Brandy? Thank you.
I know Jess. He does.
Do I sound like Wink Martindale?
Sound like Bob Barker.
Yeah, Bob Barker.
He's going to die soon. The guy's about to
die. Isn't Wink Martindale already dead?
I don't
dead.
Know. Google that, Colonel. Write that down.
All right. Let me check that out.
I don't know. I don't think Wink is dead.
I got the World Wide Web on my phone.
Okay. So where the Colonel checks the...
Who am I checking on?
The status
Wink Martindale.
Of Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. Okay.
Let me ask you, Brandy, how are you doing today? You know, people really hate it when we... not necessarily us, but... They hate it on podcasts where people talk, hey, how was your weekend? So I want to just ask you, Brandy, how are you doing? I don't want to know about your weekend since that was about 5 days ago. But how are you?
It feels like it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems like we do these podcasts every day now.
This son of a bitch is 83 years old.
Where is he still living, though, right?
He's still living.
Yeah, you know, he's a panty dropper. Wink.
Personal life, had an affair last year.
All right. We don't want to. We don't
be Chuck Woolery.
He's a born again Christian. He didn't.
We
have
don't
an
want
affair.
To expose. We don't want to sully his good name. Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. How could you have a more fucked up name? You can't sully that.
Where's he living?
It's
at?
It's not his time.
Where's he living at right now?
Right now, he's living.
He's got
in,
a new phone. We've got to leave him something to do.
Let's see.
It's shiny.
All right. While you figure that out, Colonel Brandy, any comment? Are you looking forward to this story?
I am. There's nothing like a good Priestie murder story.
Someone had posted this.
Jackson, Tennessee.
Where is he from?
Jackson, Tennessee.
Okay, Wink, if you're listening out there.
A fine Southern gentleman.
Yeah. If you're listening out there, Wink, everyone says hi. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. Brandy, back to you. You said you were looking forward to this topic because someone posted this suggestion on our Facebook, our group page on Facebook, and I don't remember who it is, so I apologize to them because it's an interesting story, don't you think?
Well, I do think, and I'm just...
You being Mormon, though, not being very religious.
Yeah, I don't know that she should really...
Wait a minute.
You don't have much... You don't really know how the Catholic... how, like, a real religion works, right? Well, do you guys... I have a serious question for you.
Mormons... Yeah, you haven't been introduced yet.
Okay, but do Mormons use the Bible?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't know...
It's a Christian-based faith.
Oh, it's a cult.
You're a cult. It's a Christian faith.
You got a point there.
And let me also say that... It's not like I'm a real big practicer at this point. They don't let me in anymore.
No, well, most churches don't.
Whatever.
Most people.
But Dave is satisfied with just one wife?
Dave is Catholic.
Yeah, but he's married to a Mormon, which means he gets a free pass.
You know, here's the thing.
If you were married to her, would you want another one?
That's the thing.
That's a good point. Let me introduce the other member of our panel now that we've moved on from Brandy time.
Oh, we already moved on. All righty.
Let me introduce the moral compass of our podcast. And it's really good that he's in on this this particular podcast because it talks about matters of the soul, Colonel.
Mm-hmm.
And, of which he has none.
You are very knowledgeable of religious matters, I'm glad that you're I'm glad you're here to discuss this particular case. He's the moral compass of our podcast. He is does a lot of charity work. He is the known as the face of Bloody Stool.
No, I told you we got to ban the Bloody Stool.
Okay. He's no longer
but being a baby. Why I get to be pill popping, penis loving? What the hell is that?
It's bad karma. I told you my stepdaddy's getting
all
treated.
All right, we feel bad,
baby.
So he no longer cares.
Sack up.
He no longer cares about people who have colon cancer. He
doesn't care.
Look. But he is the face of erectile dysfunction. He's the face
death
of...
Death surrounds him.
Vagina, decaying vagina.
The face like decaying
vaginal
vagina?
Decay.
Whatever.
Vaginal decay. Let's
okay,
get...
well...
He's a face like vaginal decay?
You say tomato, I say tomato. The very honorable, the Reverend... Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing wonderful today, Timmy, but it's a little, this show, and I hope all our listeners pay close attention because it shows how easy you can lose your way, Timmy.
Yeah. You're talking about Father Hans Schmidt.
Yeah, I mean... I'm Timmy, I'm a shepherd trying to tend to my flock.
Does he have a brother named John Jacob?
Schinkelheimer?
Yeah.
And his name is my name too.
Well.
Which is a very odd coincidence.
Since your name's Timmy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's odd.
Let's get back to the lost sheep.
It is odd.
Yeah. Okay, yes. Back to Father.
Oh my God, do we have to go back
Schmidt?
To this?
Yeah, we're going to jump right into the story.
We're going to jump right into the story after we talk about how this man has lost his way, and a lot of people lose their way. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people can lose their way. I'm the shepherd just trying to hold the flock together. Like
Colonel,
you, devil.
You know what I think about you? I think of you as an oasis in the desert of despair.
I like to think of myself much like that. To me, I like to think of myself as a...
I'm going to get a T-shirt for you that says Oasis in the Desert of Despair.
In Desert of Doom and Gloom.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, and devil, don't mock this poor man.
I'm mocking you.
Had you ever had something like faith, you would understand it's like to lose it.
She has sympathy for the devil.
She has sympathy for the devil, exactly. Now, Timmy, you're a man of faith at
yes,
one time.
Yes, absolutely.
And, so, sometimes you question it.
No,
yeah. And Timmy's so.
But sometimes you can go astray.
What does that mean?
Sometimes you can go astray, but I'm going to tell you this, Devil. I'm going to, just for you, just this is for you. This podcast is dedicated to you. If you would open up your heart and let the goodness in, good things would happen to you.
Step off your pulpit there, Jerry Falwell.
I'm just telling you. Let me put my hands on your forehead, Devil.
You want to play two for flinching?
I don't think you want to touch her because then her head is going to start spinning around.
Yeah, I know. First of all, green stuff come out. I have on makeup today. Do not fuck with me.
By the way, your makeup looks very nice. Thank you.
You do look kind of womanly
today. I had to go see important people today, not you fuckers. Okay.
You don't look like
you. You never mention anything when I wear makeup.
Well, we do, just not to your face.
Thank you.
Chuck and I keep it amongst ourselves.
He draws his eyebrows on.
Okay. He always looks surprised.
Okay. So before we jump into the story, we want to thank the people who support our podcast, those who support us through Patreon. If you would like to support the arts, and seriously, if you would like to donate to the podcast, we would be very appreciative. We are able to stay on the air because of the generous donations of those of you who contribute to Patreon. So if you would like to contribute to the podcast, you can go to patreon.com/historydweebs. You can give a little, you can give a lot.
Just a tiny wee little bit.
Every little thing that helps, it helps us pay the bills to keep the podcast coming. So I would like to thank the very generous folks who are Patreon sponsors of the podcast. They include Alicia and Chip, Jen Moyer, Brandy McBride, Annette Petre, Lise, Leslie Hagar, Amber Scoville, Jahara, Andrew Happ, Charlie and Allie from the Insight podcast. If you haven't checked out Insight, please do so. It's an excellent podcast. Amber Trevino, Mandy Swanson, Jennifer Siemens and her mother Linda, and Jennifer's son Hunter.
Hunter.
Yes. Thank you guys very much. Bridget Clavey and Cindy Liu have been contributing for a while now. We've been very generous. Thank you both very much. Heather Poole, thank you, Heather, for your generous donation. And Jason Dykes, Jason, we really appreciate your contribution and your support. And as always, Rudy the Wonder Dog, who contributes $1 to the podcast. But that's great. He said give a little, give a lot, or a wee bit.
He said he was going to give himself a wee little bit.
Well, he's very generous, and we thank you very much, Rudy.
Before we jump in here, can I just do, I know we do shout-outs at the end, but I just got a couple quick ones, birthday shout-outs.
Okay, get out very of the way. Quickly, and then we'll jump into the story.
Jeff Chestnut's lovely wife, Dawn.
Oh, happy birthday, Dawn. Happy birthday, Jeff. Be very nice to her. Buy her a big diamond ring or something.
Yesterday was Angie Drake's birthday.
Absolutely. Happy birthday, Angie.
Let's see. Yesterday was Nancy Jalapeno Papa Palomino.
Happy birthday, Nancy. We're having a lot of January birthdays.
Yeah. Carlene Madison?
Yes, Carlene. I'm sorry we missed you. You're on our last podcast, but happy, happy birthday.
And our beautiful and expecting Elise.
Oh, it's Elise's birthday?
Didn't you say it was her birthday?
No, it's not her birthday. I just said don't forget her. Because you always seem to leave her off, and she's on Team Timmy. But that's nice anyway. Elise is expecting a child in May, and we're excited about that. And she's going to name it Timothy, I think.
Question for you, Timmy. Mm-hmm. Do you find pregnant women attractive?
I think pregnant women are very beautiful, yes.
The two of you are
Pregnant women are hotter than hell. I don't know what it is about them. You see a pregnant woman, it's like, oh my. And the good thing about them is their hormones go crazy when they're pregnant.
Oh, the best thing about it is you can't get them pregnant.
Well, that's a good thing, too. But
And you're questionable about that. Is it shot?
It happens.
You can get them pregnant twice. I got Renee pregnant twice.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not likely.
I had two at one time.
Well, I know, but I mean, it wasn't like it was 4 or 5 months apart.
I could have done it if I would have wanted to.
All right.
I split an egg in half. I could have done it 4 months later.
We had this, I don't want to go into this story. I worked in child support enforcement for a while. And we had this girl who had twins, but they were from different fathers.
That can happen.
And the first guy was not, you know, we done testing, and he was the father of one of the children. We ruled out 8 other guys for.
I know. That's the weirdest thing about watching, like, I can watch Maury Povich until my eyes bleed, but all these people that come on there like 3, 4, 5 times, like 2 or 3 different guys every time, I'm like, what the fuck were you doing for that 3 or 4 days?
What kind of party was that?
Right.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go on and talk about this story and try to jump into this story because it's an interesting one.
It's real interesting to me. Unlike some of the other ones we do.
It's about Hans B. Schmidt. He was the first priest ever to be executed in the United States. He was executed for murder back in 1916. Hans B. Schmidt was born on January 3rd, 1881, in the Bavarian city. I'm going to screw this one up.
Oh, yeah.
Aschenbach. Aschenfeb. Somewhere. It's in Bavaria.
You really should. That's called preparation. You should.
No,
really
I mean,
it
I could.
You wrote the goddamn script.
I could prepare for this thing for a week, and I would still not. You know, well, I was listening to our podcast that we did yesterday on Mike Malloy, and listening to where you guys were making fun of me for mispronouncing
the potato phantom.
Yes. And I was trying to say it correctly, like laying in bed trying to say it correctly, and I was still fucking it up. So, but anyway, Hans Schmidt.
Aschenfeb, Timmy.
Aschenfeb. I don't think that's right. Aschenfeb. Aschenfeb. You have to have that German accent. Hans B. Schmidt was an unusual child, Brandy.
Oh.
His brothers teased him when he was a boy for obsessive masturbation.
Well, that seems wrong.
The teasing or the masturbating?
Teasing.
Okay.
I can just picture him like in his little shorts and his little...
his onesie. Pulling up, tearing his onesie open.
No, but once they find it, they don't let it go.
Oh, they don't let go of it.
Yeah, have you let go yet?
I'm holding mine right now.
Can you get it off the table at least?
Sorry.
His parents were disturbed.
Yeah, well.
It ruins dinner.
I'm telling you, they ask you to leave the movies if you do that.
Yeah, they actually ask. They'll ask you to leave church as well.
They ask you to leave Denny's too. Don't let anybody tell you different.
How many places have you masturbated, devil?
Not me. I got boys.
Oh, okay.
Denny's but frowns on that.
I think they were frowned on if you did it as well.
I don't think so.
Oh, you're a screamer. They would kick you out.
I don't think they'd have frowned.
His parents would punish him by whipping him with a strap.
On his wiener?
While he prayed aloud to the Heavenly Father for forgiveness.
Did they whip his wiener or his butt?
No, they think they were whipping his butt. Okay. You know, and he was praying. And they made him pray at the same time.
That doesn't sound healthy.
I think that cost extra most places.
You know, I think I saw that in Carrie right after she saw her dirty pillows. Go ahead.
He had an ear. You know who played in Carrie was the same guy.
Which one?
The original.
Yeah.
Was the guy that played in Greatest American Hero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. So John Travolta was in it too.
Willie Ames.
I like that Greatest American Hero.
Willie Ames is Greatest American Hero?
No, but they all had curly hair back then.
They do look alike. They do. Willie Ames took a left.
Check that out, Colonel. See who played that.
Okay.
Write that down.
Let me do the research. I'm the research boy all of a sudden.
Yeah. So he had an eerie childhood habit.
Besides masturbating.
Well, it kind of included masturbating. Of spending his afternoons watching cows and pigs being processed at the local slaughterhouse.
And masturbating?
Yes.
While he was at the slaughterhouse?
I'll get to it.
Oh, that's so bad. That's so weird.
He was entranced by the Roman Catholic rituals. He was, you know, he went to Catholic church.
William Catt.
William Catt, that's who it was. Who played the who played on that show with him, with the FBI guy? He was really funny.
Really? You're going to have me jumping all?
Wasn't Connie Selleck the woman lead in that show?
I think so, yeah. She also played in a show where she was an airline.
Isn't she dead now?
Stewardess. I don't know. I don't think so.
Let me look that up.
Isn't she married to John Tesh?
Write that down, devil. Oh, yeah, she is married to John Tesh.
I don't know why I know that. I didn't even have to look that up. I think that's very sad.
Anyway.
Okay, so he's at the slaughterhouse.
No. He also was entranced by Roman Catholic rituals and played priest at a homemade altar. So he set up a little altar in his house.
It's convenient.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't get kicked out for masturbating.
Yeah.
That's
my goddamn closet. My rules.
It's a sacrament. His childhood passions for watching cows and pigs being slaughtered and for playing priest would eventually converge in an unsettling way.
I can't see a good way that that yeah, turns no. out.
And by the way, and whose parents lets them? I'm going down to the slaughterhouse. Yeah. I'll check you guys around dinner time.
Don't know when to move my altar.
Well, especially when they're like five or six. I'm going down to the slaughterhouse. No.
Well, they figured getting him out of the house, he wouldn't be masturbating.
Well, they failed.
He come back 2 minutes later, I forgot my tube sock.
Right.
I'm back down to the slaughterhouse.
What kind of parents think that's okay?
Well,
I mean, he wasn't choking it at the table anymore.
He was choking the chicken. Yeah. Figured he'd go to the slaughterhouse.
While visiting the slaughterhouse, he would often masturbate. Then feeling guilty about...
Then he'd go home and pray about it?
Then feeling guilty about spilling his seed.
Oh!
That's unsanitary.
In front of swine, no less.
Well,
cloven hooves and shit.
Yeah, cloven hooves.
That is unsanitary unseemly.
He would rush off to confession.
His closet with the altar?
No, I think he went to like an actual confession. A real church.
And I'm sorry, if you're a kid.
I'm telling you, and if you're a 15-year-old boy.
Is he 15 at
no,
this
No, I'm
point?
Just saying, if you're a 15-year-old boy and you're going to confession every time you masturbate.
Oh, shit.
You might as well just.
Well, that's why I think it's
I couldn't
convenient.
Get out of the church before I'd have to turn around come
well,
back.
That's why I thought it was convenient he set up his own little thing like in his room, in his closet.
I think you have to confess. You can't really just do it in your head, right?
Well, I mean, can't you set up like a doll or something on the other side there? Forgive me, Father Teddy Bear.
I guess you could.
For I have sinned.
I just
it's
don't
been
think.
20 minutes since just, my last confession.
Well, you know, Timmy, this is a true story here, but
of course it is.
When I got my vasectomy,
a vasectomy story.
I love vasectomy
they
stories.
They told me that I had to bring a sample back in 12 weeks.
Mm-hmm. A sample of what?
A sample of my
seed.
My seed.
All right.
And I said,
you heard this story.
12 weeks.
So gross.
And
weird.
I said, well, 12 weeks, that's a long time. And she said, well, we need 6 cycles.
Mm-hmm.
And a cycle being a clearance.
Right.
I
understand what a cycle is.
An ejaculation.
Yeah.
And.
Man, that first time, wasn't you scared? What's going to come out?
Well, hold on, Timmy. So I said, 6. Hold on. You're telling me.
I got
12 weeks to
well,
get 6
care?
Out, and I laughed because I was real nervous, and I just got it done. I said, you know what? I don't know what kind of slackers you're dealing with here, but I could knock out 2 on the way to the car in the parking lot right now.
I don't think you're supposed to.
I'm sure that impressed her.
Because she's never heard that before.
You know what? But this is a true story. Well, yes, I was very afraid. What I was most afraid of was that they might have gotten in there and cut on something that they shouldn't have, and that it wasn't going to work anymore.
Because clearly this is the first time that this gentleman had done a vasectomy. So, you know,
yeah,
he doesn't
you know
do them
what?
Every day,
it
all day.
It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It's the first time you have it. That's what
the
matters.
First time?
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing a new procedure.
The only time.
He wasn't using a... I told you that. The guy says...
I know.
Oh, when I don't... I use a scalpelless method.
Which I think you would be grateful for.
No, I was like, what are you tearing through it with your bare hands?
Yeah,
chewing
on
this
with his teeth.
You got an x-ray? You got a laser beam coming down here and hit me on
with his teeth. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, that's what I said. Well, you rip it open with your bare hands? What are you doing here?
No.
So basically, you were neutered.
I was
neutered a long time ago.
I was neutered, yeah, Timmy. Pretty much.
Back to Hans.
And anybody, any men thinking about it, it's quite painful.
There's no way in hell I'd go through
God,
that.
You're
no
plus.
Yeah, no, it's painful. Bag. It hurts.
No way in hell. No
you get frozen way. Peas and pain pills.
Don't care. Don't care. Never going to happen.
Well.
While I'm visiting the slaughterhouse, as I said, he would often masturbate. And then he would feel guilty and he about spilling his seed. And he would rush off to confession. As a child, he had no use for his brothers or friends. So he was kind of a little prick.
Well, no, because it was always he always had a dick in his hand. They make fun of him.
He became transfixed with religion and killing. Remember the slaughterhouse thing going on.
Healthy.
He was just born. He should have been born during the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition or something.
When adolescence, yeah, he was just a few years, a few years before the Nazis. So, when adolescent sexual fantasies became intertwined with images of death and slaughter, problems are almost certain to arise.
I don't know why.
Again, I don't see a good outcome.
As an introverted teenager, the intelligent and scholarly Schmidt drifted into religious studies. So he was a good student. However, the character flaws and sexual conflict deepened, and he ran afoul of the law, Brandy.
Oh, not afoul.
Afoul.
He was a scofflaw.
In 1897, that was Brandy, that was 3 years before the turn of the century. Uh-huh. They were worried about Y1K back then.
Well, clearly.
And in 1897, at the age of 16, Hans was arrested for exposing himself to a group of 8-year-old girls on their way home
Gross.
From a Sunday picnic.
Oh, Hans the Flasher.
The girl spotted Hans masturbating with a side of fresh pork.
I hope he at least warmed it up.
Oh, that's so unsanitary.
Pork. Yeah, I just wonder if it came from their picnic.
Pork, the other vagina.
The other pink meat.
Yeah, the other pink meat. Well, that's a good one, Devil.
You know, it was probably he could eat pork. I mean, he could do pork.
I don't know.
Is that Jewish?
I don't know that you want his marinated pork.
That's so gross.
All right, so the cops found him. They arrested him, but they didn't charge him. They just took him home.
Yeah, well, no, you don't want to charge anybody who whipped their dick out on some 8-year-olds. That's crazy talk.
Well, maybe the 8-year-olds just happened upon him as he was having his romantic interlude with his pork.
Doesn't matter. Go home for that shit.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it, Chuck. It seems like he did it on purpose so they could see.
I wonder if he...
That's
now,
my reading of it.
Do you think he got a rump roast and cut a hole in it, or did he get two pork chops and hold them side by side?
I don't know if he did it on Periscope. I don't think there was any photos. I think he just had a side of beef or pork.
Don't you ever just get a side of pork and think, yeah.
No, I'd do that.
I'm going to tear into that.
Give me some rump roast.
I'm going to tear the ass out of that shit.
Give me a good pork loin.
Well, he would probably
have
been okay if he hadn't done it in front of the 8-year-old girls. That's frowned upon.
No, it's not okay, ever.
It's unseemly.
It's, at the very least, it is unseemly.
They didn't really charge him. They just took him home where his father beat him to within an inch of his life.
Well, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, seriously.
You pork fucker, you.
Well, yeah, when one of your kids comes home and they've been,
these Germans are pretty strict.
They are pretty strict.
They've whipped his wang out on some kids. I bet he was pissed.
Now, strangely.
I doubt it.
The beaning seemed to excite Hans.
I can't imagine.
Hans popped a Woody when he was getting his ass whooped.
And he became erect.
Oh, fuck. Oh, I bet his dad was pissed.
And he discharged semen in his pants. This upset his father.
Well, yeah.
Just a wee bit.
His made his father even more furious.
Did he beat him harder? Because I just, yeah.
No, he actually threatened to disown Hans.
They should have put a real tight rubber band around that thing.
So his father and his mother, they get together and they decide that Hans needs more attention than they can give him.
Huh.
Needs an exorcism.
Wonder what gave that shit away.
So they send him to the local parish to live, where they hoped that he would change his sinful ways. I'm telling you what, you get a 15-year-old, 16-year-old masturbating, there's no change in that.
No. So what do? You send him down to what makes him horny.
Yeah.
Send him down to the church.
Well, no, it's not like he sent him to the slaughterhouse.
No, he liked
down
the church,
to the Oscar
too. He had
Meyer
his own
plant.
Little, now he's got the real altar there. He
yeah,
can just
no meat, no raw meat. No sounds
well,
of
that's true.
No sounds of kit, you know.
Yeah,
because
those
and,
little communion crackers, they're not the same.
No, and no sound of hogs and stuff dying.
Hans seemed to thrive at the parish. So much so he decided to pursue a life as a priest. So they had a positive effect on him.
Mm-hmm,
does celibate
not.
Mean no masturbating?
Well, you're not supposed to spill your seed, right?
Well, you don't have to spill it. You can catch it with a napkin or something.
I think,
I don't know.
I think any time it's not going directly into a vagina that you're
for procreation purposes
that you're married to, it's considered spilling.
Considered spilling?
Mm.
Spillage.
Spillage. Mm. Spillage in the village.
Well, clearly.
Okay, so he's on track to go to the priesthood. Now, in 1902, a local 7-year-old girl named Greta Lehman, went missing right before Christmas.
Uh-oh.
Mm. And the story turns darker here. The local constable formed a search party with many of the men in the community joining in, including young Hans Schmidt. The search was delayed several days due to a blinding snowstorm and then frigid temperatures. And Brandy's going to tell us what happens next.
On December 28th, 1902, Greta's nude body was discovered in the forest outside of town.
How old was Greta?
She was 7.
Oh.
Greta had been battered about the head and face with a blunt object. She'd been stabbed multiple times. It appeared somebody had tried to cut the young girl's head off.
Damn.
Police speculate that perhaps the killer was in the process of dismembering the girl when something or someone scared him off. Further examination would reveal that the 7-year-old had been sexually abused either before or soon after her death, perhaps as she lay dying.
Oh. Ugh.
An intensive investigation pursued, but the small village constable had never handled a murder investigation before. With very little evidence to go on, police conduct a house-to-house search for evidence. The only building in town not searched was a local church and staff quarters. Hans Schmidt assisted the priest who presided over young Greta. The murder of the 7-year-old was never solved and soon became a cold case. 2 years later, in 1904, at the age of 25, Hans Schmidt was ordained in Mainz.
Yeah, Mainz, Germany.
Although a devout Catholic, Hans had trouble adjusting to the priesthood.
It sounded like everywhere he went, he had he butted heads with his peers.
I don't know. I haven't got that far yet.
Yeah, I'm just telling you.
Thanks. He would often argue with superiors and in one instance tried to choke a nun for talking too much.
Well, those nuns can be chatty. They are.
Nuns be testifying.
Boy, they will, won't they?
Yeah.
He spent the next 4 years serving in Germany, but disputes with his higher-ups led to a relocation. It was only the start of his pattern of confrontation and relocation. Also, the Catholic Church has a history of this shit.
Yeah. Perfect. I mean, he wasn't raping little boys, but yeah,
no,
we don't know yet.
In 1908,
at this point, we don't know.
No sheep was safe around him, but
well, no sheep was safe. Well, and it's just, you know, there's a troublemaker, and rather than, you know, say we're done and kick him out, they move
right.
him,
right?
So he can be trouble for somebody else,
right?
Couldn't leave your Subway sandwich on the table around his ass.
That would be like if
Tastes
I mean
really
that would be like
afterwards,
Colonel. That would be like us. Pawn and Brandy off on Insight or something.
Yeah, I know. It's like just because
we're not dealing with
it. Yeah, we don't want to deal with our problems no more. Let's give it to them.
That's cute.
Could you imagine that triad of evil all together?
First of all, we would be awesome. But let's just... Okay. So in 1908, he was transferred to the United States to St. John's Parish in Louisville, Kentucky. While Hans was serving in Louisville, a local 9-year-old girl named Alma Kellner went missing. Police quickly organized a search party. Hundreds of local citizens volunteered their time to search for the little girl. 4 days after her disappearance, her body was found in the basement of St. John's Parish.
Oh.
Schmidt's first place of employment in the United States.
Yeah, and basically about
2 hours.
So he's
not even smart enough to,
about 2 hours from us, right?
Yeah. So he wasn't even smart enough to, like, move her. He just kept her around.
Well, but they never convicted him of that.
Well, Alma had been sexually assaulted and bludgeoned to death, and her body had been dismembered. Jesus.
Seems to be a pattern.
Over 1,000 suspects were brought in for questioning. Almost every adult male in the neighborhood, except for Father Hans Schmidt, who would later preside over the girl's funeral. Schmidt did mention to the police that he saw the little girl not long before her disappearance, talking to the church janitor. Ooh, that's nasty. The janitor, Joseph Wendling, was convicted and sentenced to life in prison for the murder based on circumstantial evidence and bloody clothing found in his living quarters on church grounds. Until his death in prison, Wendling would maintain his innocence and claim the bloody clothes, I assume, were not his and that they'd been planted. The only person other than Wendling who had access to the living quarters was Father Schmidt.
Mm.
It was not long before Father Schmidt started bumping heads with Catholic leaders in Louisville, and he was forced to relocate to St. Boniface Church on the east side of Midtown Manhattan. It was at St. Boniface, that Father Schmidt met a beautiful Almuer?
Uh-huh.
A housekeeper for the rectory who recently had immigrated from Austria.
Anna Almuer.
Yeah, Anna.
Yeah, she's from Austria, Colonel. You know she's hot.
Well,
Anna.
They began having an affair. And for the first time, Hans was in love and Anna returned his affection.
When I was a kid, I lived across the street from a Catholic church, and we had a young priest and a young nun ran away and got married. It was like a big scandal.
It was scandalous.
Oh, yeah. This was like 1970 or something. It was real scandalous. They were both like 21, 22, but...
I met a guy.
it was scandalous at the time.
Met a guy one time who was a priest who, this is a true story, won the lottery. Mm-hmm. Left the priesthood with a nun. They got married.
Well, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How would that life... Well, you know, you will accept a life of poverty when you're poor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got other options.
Yeah. And he didn't hit one of the massive ones. He just won like a $2 million one.
I thought he was going to say,
that's enough.
$325.
Right. Yeah, he won.
He said, screw it.
He had a scratch off. He was like, fuck it, let's go. But no, it was a big scandal.
You're giving up sex your whole life. I mean, that's a tough...
Sex and stuff.
Yeah, now, you know, you can be if you're married when you go into the priesthood, though, you can... Do you know how...
You can be married and be a priest?
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Do you know why this all came about? Priests had to be celibate?
About land, right? Something about land.
It was about land.
Yeah.
They did not want the priests to have heirs to pass their land and fortunes on to. Mm-hmm. So it got passed on to the church.
Yeah, I remember reading that somewhere.
Okay. Pius was the one who introduced that rule. Before Pius the first.
He was very pious, motherfucker. He was a pious motherfucker.
He pretended to be pious. Mm-hmm. He was a self-pious man.
And you're very pious, dude.
Yeah, I'm originally. I'm OP. I'm the original Pius.
We need to include that in your introduction.
Talking about his why?
Because he's pious.
Now you know. See, you're smarter than you were when you walked in this room.
Yeah, because I didn't know that priests they were married priests.
Oh yeah, all through history, priests could get married.
Well, I knew it through history. I just mean I didn't know now you could do that.
It was about the 13th century.
All right.
Go ahead, Devil. Go ahead.
Married priest.
Just tell it. Now, the Sea Hill Girl, trying to enlighten
you. Well, she's a Mormon, so she's used to everyone getting married.
Yeah, the priests get married to women.
I'm speaking out of ignorance. I don't know anything about the Mormon faith. Don't listen to me.
We're all speaking out of ignorance most of the time.
No.
All right, Brandy, what else happens?
So, obviously, they kept their affair secret. They met late at night in seedy hotel rooms on Manhattan's Lower East Side.
I like seedy hotel rooms.
Yeah, me too.
Anna loved the attention the priest was paying her. He bought her small gifts and told her that one day he would
leave. Except when you're by yourself.
Yeah, they're not as fun.
No. You have to have some hooker name, you know.
Crystal.
A starlight or something.
Mm-hmm. Venus. She's got to be named Venus.
Yeah, Venus. Huh. Uh-huh.
All right. So he bought her small gifts and told her one day he would leave the priesthood and marry her.
I am on Tinder. Well, just wanted you to know that right now.
You getting any likes?
Nobody's liking the shit out of about everybody he sees.
Yeah. I got to get a Tinder account.
Yeah, you do. All right, so although Hans had strange
sexual... You can't even get your fucking phone to work, dude.
I know. I'd probably get a like. Yeah, I'd give her a like. I'd probably run across
I'm not sure Mrs. if we Colonel. Forgot what we're doing.
Oh, back to the story, Brandon.
Okay.
But if we could muddle through this,
I'm sorry.
That'd be fucking great.
I'm sorry about that.
Because it's a fascinating
If you
story.
Could hold our attention while you was doing this.
Yeah.
Put a little life into this script.
When she's talking, it's like Charlie Brown's
Oh, I can make this a lot more animated if you want.
Well, no, I mean, Timmy spends a lot of time crafting a script, Devil.
Yeah. Bring it to life.
Come on now. We've been doing this a long time. Breathe some life into it, okay? Like, just like you suck the soul out of people.
God
damn it. So...
She all right, me no, no more violence.
With
please.
My ring.
We're a violent-free...
This is a
safe zone?
Yeah,
it ain't a safe zone for me. I'll get hit every day.
Now, damn it.
Safety in place.
Hans had strange sexual demands.
Oh!
Like, see? If you fuckers would have shut up, I'd have got to it.
Okay, so he's with Anna, and then he's...
It's Anna. He likes it when she beats him with a belt before they make love.
Oh.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah, and afterwards, it pisses you off.
Afterwards, you're just trying to relax. You're watching Sports Center.
So Anna did it because she was determined to make the relationship work. At work, the couple remained distant to throw off suspicion, but soon rumors started to swirl.
Ah, fucking rumors.
Hans Schmidt's pattern of relocation continued.
Because those
on.
Nuns talk, man.
Nuns be testifying.
Yeah,
they will. Hans Schmidt's pattern of relocation continued, and he moved to St. Joseph's Church in West Harlem, away from his beloved Anna.
All right, so they moved him again to a different parish.
Goddamn right. Thanks for the recap.
Thank you.
One possible reason for the transfer is that the church found out about the affair and looked to keep the news from getting out. But, as you all know, distance cannot stop the two lovers.
No.
Distance will not stop love.
No. I mean, love is eternal.
Despite his subsequent transfer to a church in the distant area of the city, Schmidt and Anna continued a secret sexual relationship, which, honestly, isn't that the best kind?
So he was banging her, basically, is what you're trying to say.
That would be the sexual relationship part, the aforementioned sexual relationship part.
We want to put it in terms our listeners could understand.
Yeah, I think they got it.
They was knocking boots. They was bumping uglies.
They were doing all those.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Okay. The beast with two backs.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
I wonder if he wore his, like...
collar?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, you know he did. Yeah. That's right. Back when the priest wore the gowns, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he just lifted up that gown.
So on February 26, 1913, Schmidt married Anna in a secret ceremony that he performed himself.
Oh, well, see, that's the advantage of being a priest. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, Catholic priests are banned from getting married, let alone having sexual affairs. So Hans and Anna's secret came to a gruesome end in 1913 when Schmidt was 31 and Anna was 21. She told Schmidt that she was pregnant, and he knew his days as a priest would be over if word got out that an allegedly celibate Catholic priest had married and impregnated a woman.
It's Immaculate Conception. The whole church is founded on that. He couldn't go with it?
I guess not.
Run on that. If they don't have faith in that one, then the whole church means nothing.
Well, on September 2nd...
Yeah, you at least, you know, give it a shot.
It's a viable defense. Mm-hmm.
On September 2nd, 1913, Father Schmidt slashed Anna's throat with a 12-inch butcher's knife in an uptown Manhattan apartment he'd rented for her. He then sawed off her head with a hacksaw and then sawed her body in half.
Now, it's not mentioned in there, but... later, one of his defense...
God damn it.
His defense was that he was trying to perform an illegal abortion.
Well, I think he missed.
By cutting off her head?
I think...
I don't know if he understood how that worked.
I don't think that means what you think it means.
Cut off his head, reach in, down the neck. Yeah. And, yeah, I know. It sounds weird, but that was one of the defenses he used, other than insanity, but go ahead.
He wrapped each section in newspaper from August 31st, put her lower body in one of her pillowcases that had a monogrammed A on it, and attached a large piece of gray-green schist, a medium-grade metamorphic rock, common in and around New York City, to each of the body parts. He then took the pieces of his former lover and dumped them in the Hudson River. He counted on the schist he had gathered in Manhattan to sink the body to the bottom. 3 days later, two kids on the New Jersey side of the Hudson came across the upper torso of a woman. 3 miles downriver in Weehawken, New Jersey.
Now,
do you
Colonel,
need to recap this? I've read three sentences.
Well, but the Colonel, something. If you're a teenager, you're down by the river. Wouldn't it piss you off if you found an upper torso of a woman?
Instead of a lower
torso. So what are you going to do if you get the lower torso? Wait a minute. I think this says more about Timmy than anything.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, because if you're going to find a torso, Colonel, what are you hoping to
if
find?
If you find the lower torso.
Well, I'm a boob man myself, so
you're okay
I go
with
the upper.
I would say
that. So you know, you're okay with mermaids.
Oh, mermaids are fine to me.
Let's just hope that that never happens, that none of you ever find a body walking down by
the
Ohio
River. Well,
I'm
just saying if you're 13 years old.
It sounds to me like you're talking about, you know, tomorrow.
Well, I think if I was 13 years old, I'd still find it pretty goddamn disturbing.
Yes, you would, but you
why
know.
Would you want to look at dead, some lady's dead?
Well, when you're 13, you're curious.
You are curious, but I don't know.
It's still a dead body. You're not that curious. You don't want to sit there and, like, flay it open and see what's going on.
I'm not
on.
Saying you...
Oh, I think you are saying it.
Because by then she might have...
I think you are saying...
No, I'm not.
I think he's saying if you're 13, you want to have relations, but you only want it with the bottom part.
Only with the
you
bottom part.
You don't
want
to do it with the upper part, because that's weird.
And he wouldn't hit the dirty flower, because that is gross.
Because that's gross.
I'm opposed to the dirty flower.
But, you know, messing around with the upper part, that's just weird.
And, you know, this woman could have very well had decaying breast syndrome.
Well, and she clearly is going to have some decaying vaginal areas.
Well, we haven't seen the vaginal because
the
water.
I'm just saying, as a curiosity,
Timmy's going to be down at the river fucking some dead girl.
No, I'd say I'm
fucking some lower torso.
If you had to find
slapping one, it with a pork chop.
If you had to find one of them, you know, what? To tell your friend buddies, hey, I found this woman. I found her, you know, the upper torso. I found her boobs. Found her head. Whatever.
Dude, if you're 13 years old,
but hey,
the Sears catalog makes you spank it. Finding a torso.
I mean, that's like what just part fucking you gold.
What? What the fuck?
You disturb us. You are making me sit closer to the devil over here.
No, I'm just saying, curiosity-wise.
Throw some chicken breast on that shit, and you've got yourself a part of it.
You know, I feel bad for the young lady. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, if you're a kid 13 years old and you find a torso.
I think you're going to scream and run your ass off. That's
yeah,
I think
your wiener's probably the last thing on your mind
right.
at that point.
All right. Call me crazy.
Oh, crazy.
Oh, yeah. Fucking crazy.
Crazy.
Goddamn psycho.
Colonel, I know you'd be all over it, man.
It depends.
Does it? Does it depend?
I don't know. I mean, she ain't talking. She ain't, you know. She ain't.
But she's covered with, like, nibble marks and fish poop and river
stuff. That would be disturbing.
It's fresh water. Yes. It's like getting out of a bathtub.
It's not like that at all.
Yeah, getting out of the Hudson River is just like getting
getting out of the bathtub.
Stepping out of the shower.
Christ. All right.
You know, and if
with
you,
some obsessively calm body butter.
You could have brought her right back to life. I mean, you could have, granted, you got to make yourself a paper tube. Right?
Oh, God. Let's like the other guy did. Again. Okay, Brandy.
Really? Because you did this.
Okay, Brandy.
You did it. So, I can recap. We're good.
All right.
So these kids, well, clearly, as Tim made us linger on, these children found her upper torso.
Just the upper.
Yes, just the upper. Mm-hmm. On the New Jersey side of the Hudson River.
I wonder if they started looking for the lower after that, though. Because, you know, you think if you have one...
Wait a minute.
What the fuck?
If you give me a second.
Okay.
So, 3 miles downriver in Weehawken, New Jersey, the lower section of her body was found, still wrapped in a pillowcase with the schist attached to it.
All right. So, those are the people who, the people found it down there.
Well, those are the ones that are getting off, clearly.
You're
going to have a bit
those
of a
lucky
time
bastards.
Pulling
some
DNA. No, I'm just saying. Yeah. You know, it's like two pieces of the
what
puzzle.
What you need to do is stop just saying. That's what you need to do.
Two pieces of the puzzle.
Now, see if those kids would have hooked up together if they all knew each other.
Oh, my God. I mean, seriously? Like, you could have had a whole
It's
body.
Like, what was that movie in the 80s? Science Experiment or something?
Weird Science?
Weird Science. Yeah. Yeah. It could have been like Weird
like
Science.
Like Dr. Frankenstein.
Just sewed it back to get staples or whatnot.
Even though the body was found in New Jersey, the evidence was given to the New York Police Department. Schist, the kind of rock most available to Schmidt in Manhattan, is extremely rare in New Jersey.
Okay, Brandy, so I want you to apologize to police officers everywhere because you're always bashing crappy police work. And here, these guys were bright enough to see that this rock that was attached to his own body did not come from New Jersey, but came to New York.
There's a fucking finger and find it in the river. Is what's getting
if he was here, he's pointing. He's poking his finger in her face.
I am talking about crappy police work. My dad's a cop. I have every right in the world to talk about crappy police work.
This
I will not apologize
she does.
For dick.
That's
this
why I can make
excellent.
Stephen Hawking jokes.
This is excellent police work. I just want you to acknowledge it.
I can't even fucking get through reading it.
All right.
So... Jesus. An autopsy of the body parts told the police that they were investigating the murder of a woman under 30, around 5'4", and between 120 and 130 pounds, or 130 pounds. The autopsy also revealed that the woman had prematurely given birth shortly before she was murdered.
Oh.
Yes, I see. He was trying to abort the kid.
Well, hold on. Prematurely given birth.
Did she lose the baby before he killed her?
No, I think... What happened was he was trying to...
He was trying to perform an abortion.
Yeah.
That's probably what killed the woman.
Yeah,
and
then...
Slitting her throat.
I think that happened after the abortion went bad.
I think the abortion went bad, and then he killed her. Because, I mean, he broke down saying that he loved her.
The New York Police Department turned to their best...
It was kind of like that story of the headless woman here in... remember we did the story where the woman had the illegal abortion and they end up cutting her head off here in
Ohio?
Okay, so they turned to their best piece of evidence, aside from the body. And that was the monogram pillowcase. It was distinctive enough monogram for the police to trace it to a specific company, and the company kept detailed business records. The records for a pillowcase led to Amur's apartment. The landlord told officers that Mr. Hans Schmidt had rented the apartment for a female relative 2 weeks prior.
Oh, he was...
He then led the officers into the apartment, which was still a bloody murder scene.
I wonder if he was masturbating during that time.
Probably.
Because you know what he is?
He probably went back and masturbated all over that place.
He's a fucking cock juggler is what he is.
Oh, yeah.
Cock juggler, the secret word of the day, brought to you by Katya. Thank you, Katya. We do secret words on our History Dweebs.
Actually, this guy, if he would have had three penises, he would have been pounding them all three at the same. He would have been juggling.
He would have been a cock juggler. So thank you, lovely Katya, for your secret word.
Okay. So my guess is he left it that way so he could go back and whack off.
Probably.
Asswipe.
Or he was just lazy.
The walls and the floor were splattered with bloodstains despite a scrubbing brush and six bars of soap by the sink. Father
well,
Schmidt,
I'm sure it wasn't a sepsically calm soap, but it was in New York, so it may have been.
Father Schmidt had found better luck cleaning the blood off the butcher knife and the handsaw and had hidden them inside of a trunk. In another trunk, letters addressed to Anna mentioned Schmidt and his employment at St. Joseph's. The trunk also had handkerchiefs with the same embroidered A as the pillowcase.
He'd have been better off just setting that fucking place on fire.
Yeah. A bundle of letters addressed to one Anna Amur led to St. Boniface's Church on 42nd Street, where the 21-year-old German immigrant had worked as a servant in the rectory until being discharged for misconduct. Mention of Schmidt's name brought another lead. St. Joseph's Church, 405 West 105th Street.
Yeah, so the gig is up.
Well, now lead Detective Inspector Charles Farou and his partner went to St. Joseph's to question Schmidt about the bloodstained apartment rented in his name. Now, Father Hans Schmidt almost fainted. He got a case of the vapors when the police officers, when he opened the door and saw the police there,
was offended.
He was like, oh, mama. But within minutes, Timmy, he had confessed to both the marriage and the murder.
There you go.
Claiming, I loved her and sacrifices should be consummated in blood.
Well, he's got a point. You got to admit, Brandy, he has a point.
I don't have to admit that at all.
Well, his trial began.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
You think he's just whacked?
I think he's whacked.
He's whacked.
Really? What gave it fucking away that he might be a little off center?
Well, Jimmy didn't think so. Continue, Colonel.
Well, his trial began on the holiest of days, Timmy.
A Sunday?
December 7th.
Oh, that's your birthday.
It is, listeners. December 7th. Not 1913, but...
Close.
50 years before I was born. His guilt was not in question, so lawyers claimed he was overwhelmed, Timmy, with the bloodlust.
Oh, the bloodlust, like brandy.
You've had the bloodlust, devil. You know you have. And, who's this remind you of, Timmy? And was too insane to know right from wrong.
Yep. Might as well just start calling him brandy.
And the devil.
Really?
So a media circus ensued as the New York papers became fascinated with the priest and his double life. When the press learned that Father Schmidt was suspected of killing his pregnant wife, it generated the kind of flashy headlines and gossipy speculation similar crimes elicit today, such as what was seen in the Scott Peterson trial.
Yeah, it was a big to-do.
For 23 days and 23 nights, Timmy, his lawyers clung to the insanity plea.
Well, Brandy claimed he was insane.
If I was his lawyer,
well,
that's what I would go
not
with.
Right, but I think he knew right from wrong. Otherwise, he wouldn't have cut up her body.
He was removed from the courtroom 11 times for masturbating during the trial.
No. You're making
that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
It would have been, but you're making that up.
The listeners wouldn't have known. It would have made for a better story.
Continue.
Okay. The case was everything the sensationalist New York newspapers of the day wanted. Yellow journalism was in full swing, and the media set up their circus tent around the courthouse.
What was yellow journalism, Colonel? Remind us.
Yellow journalism, it's back when they couldn't...
Those of us, like Brandy, who don't...
Well, during the war, they had to do a lot of recycling.
No,
Timmy.
No.
And the paper that they could get the print on was not the pure white paper that they could use. They had to use the old paper that they'd recycled, which had a yellowish tint to it. So they called it yellow journalism. Now, yellow journalism was basically they didn't really care about the news. It was what it was sensationalism. It was like every newspaper turned into the National Enquirer, TMZ, basically.
Yes.
So anyway, it was yellow journalism was in full swing, and the media set up their circus tent around the courthouse, reporting every juicy detail. Now, you see, I'm bringing this to life here,
Devil. Really are. See, when I write it, I have the colonel. He's talking in my head.
Is he?
Yeah.
So you think about the colonel while you're writing?
Yeah, because, you know, at night, you're home by yourself.
In the bottom half of a torso.
when I'm writing your part, I'm thinking, I have to keep these, you know, I can't do multiple syllables.
Small words?
Yeah.
Short sentences?
Wait a minute. Two words. Potato famine. That's
continue,
all.
Continue, Colonel. She's being rude. It's
fucking scary ass potatoes. She's being scary.
Rude. She's being rude, Colonel. Continue.
Inside the courthouse,
being insubordinate,
Schmidt got his way. The plea worked. Two members of the jury fell for such insanity claim, and the trial ended in a hung jury. I was on a hung jury one time.
You use that joke all the time. Brandy would have let this guy walk because she already said he was insane.
10-2 in favor of conviction is how the jury was, but because of the strong evidence, the confession, and the public attention, the prosecutor decided to retry Father Schmidt.
Well, hell yes. The guy confessed.
Yeah, that's a tough defense. A 15-day trial ensued with the defense again claiming batshit crazy defense. And,
what was it? The first one was 10-2, right?
10-2. And he acted out of passion. Mm-hmm. These jurors, Timmy, they weren't as forgiving the second time around. And Judge Vernon Davis, who would later become tight end for the San Francisco 49ers.
No, not the same guy.
Strongly advised against letting the second trial end like the first. In his instructions to the jury, Judge Davis advised, if you are satisfied that the defendant purchased a knife and saw with which he cut up the body, thinking of using them as he did, and if you are satisfied that in the middle of the night he went to the flat, took off his coat, cut her throat, then cut up her body, what conclusion do you come to? Use your common sense, people. Your experience with men. Bear in mind, it isn't every form of mental unsoundness that excuses a crime. So the jury took this at...
Yeah, the judge was pissed off. He had to sit through that. He had to sit through that first. This had to sit through this trial twice.
Yeah. Now the jury.
The first time, the jury, you know, they let him walk.
The jury took his words to heart, Timmy. And on February 5th, 2 hours after deliberation, just long enough to get their lunch ticket, they convicted Schmidt of first degree,
murder.
There we go. 1 week later, the disgraced priest was sentenced to death. After a lengthy appeal process, he was executed on February 18, 1916. And as soon as the first volt of electricity hit him, he ejaculated in his pants.
No, he did not.
I bet he did.
No,
I bet.
No.
Okay, we don't know that for sure, but I'm speculating.
You are.
To this day, Schmidt is the only priest to be executed in the United States. Relentless media attention pulled details of Schmidt's troubling history out of the woodwork as reporters looked for new angles to cover. Indeed, a trail of previously unsolved crimes seemed to follow him everywhere he went. Yet public trust in church leaders had kept him from facing the consequences. For one, investigators found a second apartment which belonged to Schmidt. Inside, he had a printing press that churned out $10 bills.
Yeah, so not only was he this sex fiend killer,
he was a bootleg counterfeiter.
He was a counterfeiter, yeah.
And that's like printing out a $240 bill $10, today.
$10 in 19... 13 or whatever.
Yeah, it's like $240 today, so let's like print out a $250 bill. Along with the counterfeit money, Schmidt was working on a plan to partner with a Manhattan dentist, Robert Stricker, to commit a string of murders and make off with life insurance claims.
I wonder if he was in on the Mike Malloy murder.
Yeah, he didn't want no part of that one.
A little later, I guess.
Now, for his involvement, Stricker was convicted and sentenced to 10 years in prison. In Louisville, newspaper reporters revisited the death of the 9-year-old girl, Alma Kilner.
Yeah, the janitor. The janitor ended up...
He died in prison. Yeah.
Whose body was found in the basement of St. John's Parish.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Her body was found dismembered. We know all that. The convicted former church janitor was serving a life sentence based on Father Schmidt's conviction of murder. Windling sought a new trial, but was denied. He died in prison in 1917. He was buried in the prison cemetery. Even further back in Schmidt's history, German police traced evidence to that young first murder girl, Greta Lehmann,
mm-hmm.
in Schmidt's hometown of Aschaffenburg.
Mm-hmm.
Germans never had a chance to question Schmidt because he was executed in the United States and the case went cold, and that murder to this day remains unsolved, Timmy.
Wow. Okay, so the Hans B. Schmidt, the first and only priest ever to be executed for murder in the United States. What's your final thoughts on this story, Brandy?
Guy's gross. It's just gross.
What's your favorite part of the torso?
I don't have one.
No preference?
Like a dead torso?
Well, yeah. I mean, well.
yeah. Okay, let's go with a live torso.
If you have a live torso. You choose.
And I enjoy most of the parts of a live torso.
Really?
None of the dead ones.
None of the dead ones.
No, I'm good. We really need to have a intervention. Is that the word I'm looking for?
He keeps going back to the dead torso. It's a little disturbing.
I'm just saying, if you're out on a riverbank and you're fishing and a torso is going to come up, you know.
What?
Saying.
You're just hoping for the decayed vagina part of the torso.
Right.
Well, there's more mystery, because if you get the head, well, I guess you wouldn't get the head, though, would you?
No, you don't get any of this.
No, she didn't even. She was Venus the corpse. Oh. She was just going down there. Her arms were chopped off. All she was is little
torso. So would you prefer you prefer the dead boobies?
I prefer not to run into any parts of dead shit floating down the river.
I don't want to find dead bodies down by the river.
But if I had
don't
to
go
find
jogging,
one.
Because that's joggers always find dead bodies.
Well, that's the reason that I don't jog.
Huh?
I think joggers are doing it.
Now, that's the reason I don't jog.
I think they should have metal detectors on jogging paths.
Well, but I think that the reason joggers find dead bodies, I think it's God's way of. Because, you know, joggers always think that they're better because they're jogging.
They do think they're better.
Because they're jogging, and mm-hmm. I'm not jogging. And I was up at 6, and I jogged 5 miles, and then I came home. Screw you and your jogging. You know what? Then you can find all the dead bodies.
Well, you know, I'll tell you the funniest thing is Rudy. Nope.
Did he find a dead body?
When we're walking along
a
path.
Did he fucking find a dead
body?
No, this doesn't have shit to do with nothing. He's not a cadaver dog,
but if I were to ask him to, he could find me a lot of things.
Then that doesn't have shit to do with nothing.
He does this thing to men joggers. I don't know why it's just men, but he just does it to men. If they're running, I keep Rudy a certain distance away from the path when I take a walk in the park. And if they don't...
Sorry, I don't recognize that.
Timmy's got a burner phone over here that's gone rogue on us.
No, I think she's saying, shut up.
So anyway... No, I walk myself over about 2 foot off the path, all right, to give them clearance.
This could be a 2-second story.
Rudy thinks that they should give themselves the same 2 feet the other way. So he feels like if he's making a effort to get away from them, they should make an effort to get away from him. But if they come right down the middle of the path, he'll wait till they get real close and just scared. You never seen joggers go into a sprint before like that.
Yeah.
It's funny as hell.
It's an amazing story.
I can hardly keep it together.
Amazing.
Carol, do you have some
shout-outs? Unlike the corpse.
I'm telling you, we need a meeting. We need a professional in
we
here.
We need a young priest, an old priest. We need a psychiatrist.
You all have torso preference.
I got a question for you. We was in the beginning, we was talking about lovely Elise and her her expectations, her child
yes,
coming
gonna,
in?
But I think the child is due May the 19th near Brandy's birthday and my birthday.
Was you crazy horny all the time when you was pregnant, Devil?
You go through periods of that. Sometimes you are, and sometimes you really just want to...
Well, sometimes you're tired and you want to kill your husband.
Yeah.
I mean, Renee would flip back and forth. Sometimes yeah. I could tell by the look on her face when I came through the door whether I should even talk to her or not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's literally how she was.
That's a skill you really should hone in on.
Yeah. And I still know that look to this day.
You don't seem to be able to pick it up here very well.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm...
Shout
Let's get
outs,
on with
Colonel.
The shout-outs.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
We got, of course, lovely Tasha and Ophelia.
You torso fucker, shut up over there. Yeah. We're getting to it. We're getting
Tasha to out it. There in California. Hey, Tasha, how's it going, sweetie?
And Miss Ophelia.
And her mother, the beautiful Ophelia.
I don't think you should be calling anybody beautiful or nothing now
Why?
That you...
Hey,
because now they know that you know...
You only care about the bottom half of the torso.
Yeah.
You don't care how beautiful they are as long as they got a nice lower torso.
I love...
And they're dead.
And they're dead.
Well, don't judge me.
Oh, no, we're judging hard
I'm
over
judging
here.
You 6 weeks
and, to Sunday. And it's, you know what, when us two are judging you, when we're questioning your moral
I really shouldn't be anybody's moral compass.
Moral clarity, you got a problem.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Rebecca Montane.
Rebecca likes me. Hi, Rebecca.
Mike Eisenhower.
Hey,
and Danielle Fredrickson. Toby Deese. Nancy, Toby. Happy birthday, Nancy Jalapeno.
Yes.
Kim Kazmersky Kamikaze, Jennifer Hawkins, Lindsay O'Brien McMillan, Sonyana, Eddie Rushing, your handler, Sammy James, my buddy Jason Dykes, the lovely Amy Carol Payne, and the lovely Tyra Jenkins. Let's see. Oh, sweet little Emmy Waterfall.
The lovely Emmy.
Amber Anderson.
Amber,
Mike.
Hi.
Mike Rosen, new to the page. I had not seen her before, but beautiful young lady. Tracy Busby.
Hi, Tracy.
Kelsey Fro. Jorg Helkler. Alan Dobbs. Carleen Madison. Neil Eagleton. Natasha Davis. Nicholas Starr. Steve Miller. Angie Drake. Happy birthday to you, Angie. Becky Mitchell. Keith Frusty. Cheryl Musco, Andy Volley.
Hey, Andy.
Marvin Hammond, and Marvin's mother.
Yes, she's a very lovely woman.
Say hello to your mother for us.
Yes, she's beautiful.
Marvin. Mary Ray.
The lovely Mary Ray in upstate New York.
Katie, wonder what I'm hoping for my birthday this year. Katie!
Morehead.
There we go, Timmy.
That would be not a dead torso.
Yeah, not if you find... You got to find a head to get that. Right. Question.
Yes.
Did Ed Gein, when he
Ed
killed his
Gein.
Mama... Ed Gein, I know.
Jesus
when he
Christ.
When he chopped his mama...
He's mispronounced his name for 2 years.
It's a colloquialism.
It's not.
Okay, so anyway, when he killed his mama, didn't he hump the head?
No.
Which
that
one of
was,
the guys
that
did
was,
that?
That was Big Ed Kemper.
Ed Kemper, that's right.
There you
Big
go.
Ed Kemper, okay. I know one of them was a head humper, but...
Yeah.
Head humpers are the worst.
They are the worst.
That's Big Ed Kemper.
Timmy's
yeah.
not
oh,
one
yeah,
of
you're
them.
You're judging me.
Timmy doesn't care. He's just looking for the torso coming down.
I know.
You got 3 pieces. Timmy's only going to be happy with one. If he finds the head or the upper torso, he's
he
like,
he throws
oh,
that shit back.
Fuck that. Why I always got to get the top half? Okay. Christine.
Bourgeois.
Jeff Appel. Maggie Glover, Brandy McBride, lovely Lydia, Bond,
Jean Bond,
Tara V, John Cunningham, Gabby Lewis, Laura O'Reilly, the cigarette smoking monkey fraud, Jamie Tarantino. She's neither a monkey nor a smoker, nor does she even own a cowboy hat.
And she's very attractive.
It's false
she's
advertising.
A beautiful woman.
It's false
yes,
advertising.
Very beautiful.
Beautiful woman.
And say hello to Fat Boy Gardner, who is neither a boy nor a gardener.
Fat Boy Gardner, all right.
Let me get him on the list so I don't forget him again.
Do your job, for Christ's sake.
Oh, here's where we go. Yeah. Sydney and Michael and Wonder and the Wonder Dog. Stephanie Quick, Crazy Ass Trixie, Gina Spillane, Amber Krupp, William Truax,
Denny McNamara. How's it going,
McNamara? And his lovely wife. I know she don't listen, but Denny got a lovely wife.
Yes. Yes.
Byron Snellings and of course Bridget Clavey, Kate McCarthy, Joe Hopkins, Olivia Meyer, Brian and Lisa Lawton, Donna Curran, and that beautiful dog Tucker. Did you see him in the snow? She put a picture up of that dog in the snow.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Aaron Wentz, I could be wrong on this, but I believe Aaron lives someplace warm, and I don't care for that.
Why do you care? Why?
Because I believe she may have posted a picture of something like warm, and it was like 11 degrees here, and it was like she was rubbing it in my face.
Maybe she lives in Australia where it's summertime now.
No, it's in the States. I could be wrong. Right. Phyllis Munson. Now, I'll tell you, Allie posted a picture on Christmas Day at a beach, and it's that was just rude.
Yeah, it was a gorgeous picture.
Alda Trowbridges, Clark, Linda, Diane, Shonda and Larry, Tommy Boomershine, Teresa Slavin,
Boomershine.
Jeff Chestnut, and again, happy birthday to his lovely wife, Dawn.
Yes, I hope you and Dr. Jeff have a wonderful evening. I hope he cooks for you and treats you well.
The beautiful Celine.
Lovely Celine.
Brittany and Chris. Missy Dean Horton. Of course, we got Jennifer and Linda already. Sam Hildebrand. Jeff Girdley. Let's see who we got here. Timmy. Thomas Tui. Dave Hill. John Gray. Don Gordon. Kirsten Davidson. Susan Angles. TJ Youngblood. Another ginger that we all love. Robin Sanchez.
Absolutely. A very beautiful young lady.
Let's see. Tammy Ennis, Valerie Murray, Nancy Weller, Kirsten Andreessen. That's a tough one there. Kristen Andreessen. If I got that, tell me on the page how to say that right. Anita Darden, Jessica Winchester, the lovely Carla Nelson. Carla, we hope you're feeling better. And my wife has had the same thing, and it just keeps hanging on and hanging on and
Carla
hanging
has,
on.
Bad sinus.
Well, I think she's got bronchitis and a cough and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, she's a mess.
Hang in there, Carla.
Yeah, my wife's had it for about 2 weeks now, so she hasn't lost her voice. I keep hoping for that. But Amber Trevino, Angie L.
Did you say hi? Did you give a shout out to Brett Wilkins and Cheryl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Karen Alden, Norman DiMaggio, Andy Smizer, Brandy Deese, the lovely little Callie Jones, Skip Fayu, Beth Wallen, Megan McKee, Susanna Sheldon, Jennifer Miller, Sabrina Whitener, Jeffrey Dolan, Stacy Lynn, Brenda Deutsch, Liz Evans, Jessica Bishop, Jen Moyer, Michael Daniel, Amelia Orozco, Josh King, Maddie Kinnan, Heather Marshall, Terry Helmsley, Carol Nash, Kevin Behan, Lise, of course, Mike Tabor, John Janke, Jeff Hopkins. We got the two Hopkins, Jeff and Joe, and Daza. We got the Heathers have turned into three Heathers now.
We have three Heathers.
Three Heathers. Heather Hall, Heather Poole, Heather Marshall.
We love Heathers.
Each one lovelier than the other. Brittany Powell, Brett Wilkins, Mike Arnold, Paul Mampilli, Sydney Overstreet Hamilton, Jennifer Potts, Maria Barber, Christina Montana, Christina Hodge, but she spells hers with a K, Steph Glenn, the lovely from the Bronx, Annette Petray.
The lovely Annette Petray.
Let's see where we got here now. Now we move on to...
Well, before you do, did you get Molly Erickson and Nicholas Starr?
You know what? Molly Erickson, I put her on the list. Did I not say her name?
I don't believe you did. Molly and
Molly Erickson and Nicholas Starr.
And Nicholas, yes. Please make sure you include them.
Then I will make sure that they do not get missed again, because I fixed the list this morning and I remember putting the names on them.
Yes. She said we were gentlemen, in air quotes.
Yeah, she's part of Team Devil. Mm. That's all right.
Thank you for listening, Molly.
We do appreciate you and Nicholas listening.
We do.
We appreciate you participating on the page. Now, we get to really what we consider the upper crust of listeners, the more discerning of listeners.
All right.
Those listeners who have declared themselves Team Colonel.
Clinically insane.
And that would be, first of all, our lovely mascot. We're led by our lovely mascot, beautiful little Fallon.
Fallon is a very lovely young lady.
She's an adorable young lady. I shouldn't say adorable. She's a beautiful young lady. Liz Keating, Radhika Smith, Angela Cobes, even though she's a ginger, and we love gingers. Scotty J, Monica D'Agostino, Tiffany Bell, of course. The lovely Shannon Rossett, Amanda Bocce Ball, she very pretty picture she put up. Jessica Williams, haven't heard from Jessica in a while. Hope she's doing good. Beautiful Frances Darden, lovely Jana Fitzgerald, who I mentioned is starting back to school. Karen Barnes, Jennifer Burdick. And the lovely little Sarah Mimosa. Angie Ball. You know, on Team Colonel, I got a lot of redheads here, Timmy.
You did.
Got a lot of gin.
And it's amazing, and since you always say negative things.
I do not. Redheads. And that's, I like to clear that up. I love redheads, Timmy. Love gingers. It's just, I know what they're capable of. That's all.
Ginger a derogatory term, Brandy? No?
You know what?
No.
Devil, you like dogs, right?
Yes.
I love German Shepherds.
Okay.
I love German Shepherds. But they'll bite your goddamn arm off.
Yes.
You can love redheads and know that they're going to bite your damn arm off. That's not saying anything negative about them.
I think for you that goes across the spectrum of all hair color.
Well, that could, yeah.
You should actually really be careful.
And, of course, I got the big guns here. Another redhead, Charlie and Allie.
Of the Insight Podcast.
Of the Insight Podcast. They had a really interesting one last night about wrongful conviction. So I listened to that last night. And the very pretty but smart as a potato, Nicola Reed.
Smart as a potato.
I don't know. She's taking these exams and she said, they make me feel dumber than a potato. And I said, you know, it really doesn't matter because you're very pretty.
I see.
And that's why,
you
see,
keep talking,
you say things
you
like that to
wrong.
People.
Smarter than a potato.
She is smarter than a potato. She's a genius.
Well, the fucking girl left, smarter than a potato. That's not saying anything.
This girl left high school when she was 16 years old.
I know.
To go to
You can say smart as a whip.
I'm going to be European. To go to university.
You can say smart as a whip.
Oh, she's smart she's smart as a firecracker.
Smart as a potato phantom.
Yeah, so but it doesn't matter because she's very pretty.
Well, she is lovely.
Clearly, she wants to do something besides moisturize all day.
You know who is not very attractive? Queen Victoria, not a pretty woman.
Well, I don't think Queen Elizabeth's all. She ain't choke one out either.
She's 180 years old.
Yeah, I mean Queen Victoria.
Yeah, if you found the bottom of her torso come floating down the lake, Timmy, what would you do?
I don't know.
He'd
I'm
be
not
on
sure.
That. He'd be on that like a hobo on a ham sandwich.
If you're a 13-year-old boy and you find Queen Elizabeth's bottom torso come floating down.
At her age now?
Sure. No. Hobo on a ham sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Continue, Colonel.
Not now.
Continue, Colonel.
We got the lovely Lady Beverly.
Yes.
And really the person who this show is sponsored by. Makes this all come to life for all of us, the lovely Dottie Scott.
Thank you, Mom. Brandy.
What?
Where can people find us?
Find us on Facebook.
Yeah, we have two pages. We have the History Dweebs page where we just post a bunch of stuff. And then we have History Dweebs, the podcast group. And everyone that the Colonel has mentioned here is part of that group. And we interact on that page. So we would encourage all of you to join History Dweebs, the podcast Facebook group. We have a lot of fun there. And you'll get shout-outs, but we also, it's a very interesting group, and we'd encourage you all to join.
You can find us on Twitter.
Yeah, at HistoryDweebs1. And you can follow the Colonel at Hawk Walters.
And you can find us on iTunes.
Yes. If you are on iTunes, if you listen to us on iTunes, please subscribe and leave us a review. It helps other people find the podcast, and we would really appreciate it. And we got a very nice review, as I said, the other day from Jeff Hopkins, and we really appreciate that. So if you are listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a review. We got a nice review from Joe Hopkins, and gave us 5 stars. Thank you very much, Joe. So if you're listening on iTunes, please leave us a review.
And then you can find us on any of the Stitcher and Libsyn, anything like that.
We're all over the damn place.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
We're like bed bugs.
We are. Brandy, any final thoughts?
I have no final thoughts.
I'm going to Atlanta in a couple of days.
I know.
Yes. You're going to be here tomorrow. What's today?
I'll be here tomorrow.
Today's Tuesday.
I was thinking today was Wednesday.
No. It is not.
And you should not talk about days because we don't know when we're going to post this, so it throws people off.
Okay, well.
Oh, what do you think? We're doing this live?
Do it live, damn it. Colonel, any final thoughts?
Yeah, if you're going to get married, don't marry a priest that likes to be, he's wrapping his own pork in pork, is what he's doing.
Don't marry a priest.
Marry a priest. But if you meet a man and you get, things get romantical between you, you get down there and you get a whiff of bacon on his tallywacker there, Timmy,
mm-hmm.
run.
All
you
right.
don't want any, you know, you
it's
don't want
a bad idea.
Yeah. If you was down there and you got a sin of bacon, would you think, this is peculiar, wouldn't you?
I would.
Have you ever smelled a bacon scented wiener?
Definitely. When was the first time you had a...
No.
All right. Well, we'll save that for a later podcast.
Oh, goody.
Oh, no. We got to know. Now you see, you opened up that line of questioning.
First time, Brandy, that you engaged in any sort of oral stimulation.
What? Why the fuck do you ask these questions?
I just want
questions?
To know when she first touched the wiener. That's all. All
right. Fair enough.
I was like 15.
15? I think that's about an appropriate age.
Thank you.
Yeah, how about you, Colonel? When did you touch first wiener?
Oh, I was probably 6 months old. Yeah, I was grabbing that thing. I ain't let go of it since.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Bye, everyone.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.